You're listening to the Auburn Express. Powered by
the War Report.
All aboard the AM departure from platform 334, the Auburn Express. We're running on time and expecting no hiccups, doing the work, hard work, to bring you the best Auburn sports content you'll find anywhere.
Yo, what's good? Your man Ike Jones back in here once again, and we are traveling back around the Amen Corner. I got my guy Paul Meharry and Kenny in the space. Kenny B, man. We're gonna get to Florida in a minute. Not necessarily the Florida Gators, because we're definitely going to talk about that. But I want to talk about the state of Florida in just a minute. You know, we got to go take a trip down there. But today we're going to start y'all off with a little bit of a recap of what happened around the SEC. We're going to get into a little bit of talk about some rumors of maybe some upheaval in the coaching situation in the state of Florida. Get into a little bit of talk about, you know, Auburn's got a new coach. So, of course, we got to discuss that because I'm here. Why can't we discuss Auburn stuff? And then we'll talk a little SEC championship stuff. But before we get into that, fellas, how y'all feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great, man. You know,
yeah, of course, Paul's feeling good. Hey, we're going to talk SEC championship, man.
Georgia's hey, man. It is what it is. I mean, at this point, it's LSU looked rough.
LSU did look rough. That's a factual statement.
I know you want to start with around the SEC, and we can start there, man. Yeah. LSU looked really rough.
I turned that game off.
I turned that game off. I did not want anything to, like, it wasn't. And the thing is, Texas A&M, man. Like,
yeah.
Listen, going around the SEC, have your pick.
We picked that game, and there was no way that I thought that LSU was going to lose that game.
Absolutely not.
Here's the crazy thing, though. At the beginning of the season, I saw a dude, he put in a futures bet, right? At the beginning of the season, Texas A&M was a 14.5-point favorite in that game. So that just goes to show you what Vegas thought of both these teams, right? Wow. And so they were 14.5-point favorite. This dude put money on plus 14.5 LSU and ended up losing. I think, or something like that. So he lost his bet. So that just goes to show you what Vegas thought Texas A&M was going to be this year and what they thought LSU was going to be. I bet you could have won some good money if you put LSU at the SEC West, representative.
Nobody outside of Baton Rouge was taking that bet.
No, I don't think folks in Baton Rouge were taking that bet.
You're probably right about that. The only people taking that bet would have been family members of players and Brian Kelly's wife or something like that. Outside of that, nobody.
This is the second podcast in a row I've done the family thing. might have to keep that going.
If you bring up Brian Kelly, I think it's something that you just kind of have to keep going. But besides that game, they looked rough for sure.
What other games stuck out?
What about Vandy, bro? Is Vandy for real? Like,
I don't know.
Because 1 week they look like they might be an actual football team, and then the next week they're back to being Vandy. Like, what? Well, I don't understand Vandy. Clark Lee is going to get an extension at Vanderbilt. Like, let's be clear about that. Yeah. Even with this, they're going to extend Clark Lee. But, like, what do you think of Vandy right now?
Go ahead, Kenny.
Both of you guys played Vandy, so
I think we might have lost Kenny, so I'll go. 56-0 against Tennessee. Tennessee took out some frustration,
man. They
took out some big frustration. I honestly said that Vandy might actually win this game. I thought they wanted to become bowl eligible.
Yeah.
And they didn't. Yeah. You know, so 56-0 I did not see. I thought Tennessee was going to just come out and be like, whatever, man, I don't care about this game, and roll over. Vandy wanted to become bowl eligible, and they couldn't, and 56-0 was the end result. Kenny, what do you think about both those teams?
Man, so Vandy, surprise.
I did pick Vandy for that game. Dang.
Yeah.
That's because I don't believe in Joe Milton, but anyway, my bad to cut you off, Kenny.
No, Tennessee, man, I didn't think they were going to come out and, like, roll over to Vandy. I don't care what you would have said. I would have never picked Vandy to beat anybody else in the SEC and upper echelon of football. But the way they played against us and Who was the other team they beat?
Let's see. So they started off the season, they beat Elon. They beat Northern Illinois.
Not
they beat
Kentucky. The brakes off of both of them, too. So
was it South Carolina they beat?
Nah, so they lost South Carolina. They beat Kentucky and they beat
Kentucky.
Yes, I think when they beat Kentucky, I haven't been high on Kentucky. Like when we lost,
they won another SEC game, though. What was the other one?
It was just those two, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Two and six in the conference.
But they look like who they are against Tennessee. But
yeah,
hey man, shout out to them. You know, they get up and step to the fight. So
yeah, I mean, legitimately, listen, I told you I'm not a believer in Joe Milton. And so I was like, they don't have Hendon Hooker playing. I don't know if Tennessee's gonna have a high octane offense. Vandy might come in there being scrappy and da da da. Yeah, I was completely wrong.
You want to know what's real crazy, Ike? You want to know what's real crazy? Vanderbilt 2-6 in the conference, 5-7 overall. Texas A&M 2-6 in the conference, 5-7 overall. Yeah. Auburn University 2-6, 5-7. All three of those teams on the same. Yeah. That's crazy.
That's absolutely sad as a guy who is a fan of one of those teams.
Yes, man.
Well, so here's the thing. At least we were predicted to suck this year. A&M. Everybody thought they were going to be the darlings of the West and go out here and shock people. And it's like, what are we talking about? Like, have you watched them play? But yeah.
They saw that roster, boy.
That's what it is. They saw the roster.
Speaking of A&M, do you see that running back? I think he was like a top 50 running back. He entered the transfer portal and somebody tweeted at him, was like, basically, yeah, you went to Texas A&M, got your bag, and now you can go to your real school. And he retweeted it.
Wow.
He retweeted it.
He's like, I wasn't going to play freshman year anyway. Let me just go get a little something, get that red shirt going with a little bread, and then I'm going to bounce to where I actually want to play for the rest of my time.
I saw that. I was like, damn. Okay.
No, that's wild.
Like, I'm curious to know, because the next time we record, I think, will be after, I think the deadline is the 5th, December 5th.
Yeah,
let's see.
Fifth, yeah.
Well, my calendar's all messed up. Let's see. Are we? Yeah. So the next time we record, it will be after the deadline. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to know how many of those Texas A&M kids end up in the portal. I would imagine.
I'm curious to see if Texas A&M changes their strategy for how they do NIL. If they get a large attrition of a lot of those freshmen out of their
class. You got to, right? You can't throw 30 mil at a class and then have 60% of them leave.
Yeah, that's wild, man. That is absolutely nuts.
Here's the other thing, too. And Kirby says this a lot. He's like, NIL is going to play a factor into every kid's recruitment, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's the number one thing, we don't want them because it's kind of me over team in that situation. And you saw that. You saw like they had like 3 5-star kids who were smoking pot in the locker room racing in a parking garage. Like, you don't want those kids. And that's what you get when you go after those 5-star prospects and you just bring them all in and you think, hey, they're all gonna gel. Nah, man.
No,
everybody, and if you, and Kenny, please believe this. Everybody knows how much everybody got. Everybody knows how much bag everybody got.
Yes.
And like, there's resentment.
Not a secret. Like you look at Florida, for example, right? And Billy's the same way as far as we want guys who buy into the program. You'll benefit from NIL. We have, you know, we got stuff for you. But if that's your main focus, we're not going over what you're worth. That's it. And some people was like, yo, man, throw the money at them. Throw them.
Yep.
I'm like, no, man, don't do that. Because what are you going to do for the other guys in the locker room? But now you see guys that are there, they're getting their money. Jason Marshall just got a deal. You got AR. He's probably the first Gator that got a Gatorade, anything, and the Lord knows how long.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they see everybody pulling up in the Benzes and Porsches and scat backs and all that stuff, but they're getting it because they performed on the field
in
college. And, you know, you look at these schools who are just throwing money out, the Texases, A&Ms, the Miamis.
Yeah.
It's not sustainable.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, do you think we're going to approach a time where it's going to end up being, and for lack of better words, because I know they're not professional athletes, but where there's going to be some sort of collective bargaining type thing where it's tiered, right? Like they put caps on freshman NIL deals, right? Like you can't make above blah, blah, blah until you prove something on the field. Or are we just in the place where, because it's technically not a salary, right? It's name, image, and likeness. So you're making money off of your star power, not necessarily what you produce, because they can't make it performance based. So I like, where do we go?
But if
other than people not being stupid and just handing money to 17, 18 year old kids.
That's what I'm saying. Like, because the kids that, you know, came in this year, yes, they had the name, image, and likeness, but they didn't do anything on the field for their actual university yet. So correct. Like that's a whole different topic of NIL. Sure. What you're asking is there like some type of cap? And I don't know. I don't think the NCAA wants to like go down that road, because yeah, that's a slippery slope, man. They've already opened up the doors enough right now. Yeah. And then the NCAA comes out and says, hey, just so you know, the cap for per kid is $1 million. And it's like, what? I thought we were playing college football. And then you got like, I don't know, teams like Washington State, like, we can give you $5,000 and a Subaru Outback. Like, that sound cool?
Yeah.
You know, you put a cap on it, then, you know, money starts coming out of the woodworks. And next thing you know, it's like, it's an arms race. It already is.
Yeah, I mean, it's an arms race right now. I just think that, like, well, the problem is there's two things. One of the things you mentioned, Kenny, is fans whose money it isn't to spend think that the resources should just flow liberally towards the kids just to get them in the door. It doesn't matter. And then the people with money who been to those wheels, being willing to just go out there and throw piles of money at these kids because, by God, I want my team to win. And it's like, bro, that's not, you can't build it to the, I'm going to use the word you use, a culture around that. You can't.
No, you can't. Because you have to, just as hard as these coaches are getting ready to jump on this trail and see these kids in the room, you think they're not recruiting in their own locker room?
Mm-hmm.
I got to pay my guy to not go to
the not leave.
To not hit the portal.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going
to... Hey, listen, we went through it last year with Tank Bigsby, bro. Like, let's be clear. Between Tank Bigsby and Javarius Johnson, there was a lot of begging and pleading by coaches to say, hey, look, stay here. We'll figure it out. And they did. Yeah. Listen, Tank stayed. It had a decent season. I mean, the offensive line wasn't good enough to make it... Tank, he just doesn't get enough due, bro. He almost had 1,000 yards with a terrible offensive line. Like, I just
Tank
don't even
beast.
Understand
Tank
how.
Is going to be, yeah.
He'll Tank's going to be a beast. Gets to the league, and they'll be like, why didn't he do that here?
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what's going to happen. Somebody's going to get a hold of him, and they're going to be like, this is nuts. What's the kid's name from Florida that was like?
Damien Pierce.
Pierce. Never touched the ball. He went to the league. Folks was like, what?
Yep.
What is happening right now?
Yeah. Every fan would be like, yo. Why is he getting the ball 4 times a game?
Yeah.
And never started a game his senior year.
Yeah. He never started his senior year?
No.
Damn. That's
absolutely nuts. Listen,
that's
man.
Rough.
That's rough. I mean, at least Tank gets carries, right? But he's not a Pierce in that leg. But yeah, Pierce definitely was underutilized in his collegiate career. That is for sure.
To Kenny's point, though, real quick before we wrap up on that, he's 100% accurate. You have to keep money back in your NIL to keep guys from going to the portal.
Mm-hmm.
So not like it's weird, man. It's like everybody knows how much everybody's making, and hey, man, I'm transferring out because such and such is behind me on the depth chart, and he's making X, and I'm making Y.
Right.
Like
Ryan Day say, I need 13 mil to keep my team intact.
He said, yeah, he came out and said it didn't. I think Auburn came out today and said that they got 12 mil in a Warlock chest.
Yeah, man.
Ready to go.
So this is a perfect place to transition then,
you
since
that,
we're talking
right?
about Auburn and that and the war chest. Let's talk
that, right?
about why this has become a thing right now for Auburn. And that's because just got a new coach in.
Mm.
And they're trying to make sure that coach gets off to a fast start. What are you guys thinking about now? Head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Hugh Freeze. Is the rest of the SEC having sleepless nights right now because Hugh Freeze is the coach? Is that what just happened? Or is this like one of those? Okay.
No.
Sure.
Go ahead, Kenny. I'll go ahead.
I mean, Kenny doesn't, your team doesn't have to face them every year. DePaul definitely should go last on this. But Kenny, how are the people in Gainesville feeling about head coach Hugh Freeze and his potential in the SEC West?
I think folks are a little nervous, especially the way he knocked out that initial thing with like, hey, man, Cadillac, you're the best. We're keeping you, give you this title. I mean, it couldn't have gone any better.
Now, listen, the press conference was amazing. If he were a politician, I think that this would have been a great kickoff to his political campaign. But yeah,
continue. Y'all already have a former head coach as a senator now in Alabama.
All right, listen, I don't.
I'm just saying. Don't start it for another one.
Yeah. Go ahead though, Ken.
But he did. He said all the right things. Like if there was like a checklist, I think somebody handed him the checklist. He was like, oh, I can work that in too. Okay, cool. And then he went and he just kind of wove his story around that checklist.
He did. And I think him putting that out there, like first, like, hey, we're keeping Cadillac.
Yeah.
He's assistant head coach. That lets the recruits know the culture that's here. Mm-hmm. It's still going to be here. That excitement, we're keeping that guy that's responsible for that.
Yeah.
We're going to keep it moving. And you have what he did at Liberty, how he made Malik Willis look. You know what I'm saying? How he made Liberty look. That's how he's going to score points. Mm. It's everything that's happening.
Mm.
And he's going to recruit. He's going to do everything he can to get recruits.
That's a fact. He's going to do everything he can. Everything.
And it's the staff. We're like, yo, potential rumors that he's going after a Florida staff member. You know what I'm saying? I'm hearing that.
Oh, really?
A Bama staff member.
Now I've heard rumor of Bama staff. I have not heard about any Florida staff members. Do you care to spill the beans on that one?
Who?
I heard that, you know, he may be trying to go after a linebacker coach and Bateman. And so people are nervous that if he does, a lot of the work with those 2024 recruits, those guys, those linebackers might follow him.
So that's, I think if, and I know Paul is not going to be on the SEC should be nervous camp in that, on that train right now, but that's, I think, the only thing that if I were an opposing coach, I'd be worried about is the amount of money, because I'm going back to the war chest thing, the amount of money that I feel like Auburn is willing to throw at a staff, and they're going to try to bring a colossal group of Avengers together to put together some sort of super staff to make this a formidable first 1 or 2 years under Coach Hugh Freeze. So I'm gonna let you chime in here, Paul, and talk about why Georgia and Kirby Smart are just laughing right now and they're not worried.
Look, man, I mean the easiest way to look at it, the easiest way to look at it is this, man. You brought in a coach that, I mean, 76-47 is his head coaching overall record. Mm-hmm. Liberty did a good job of, you know, bumping that up for him, if you will.
Rehabilitating it a little bit, yep.
This hire doesn't scare anybody, man. I think what it did to y'all's fan base also, it kind of divided the fan base a little bit, because you have the sexual misconduct, you have all this, you know, things in his past, right? He has a troubled past. And, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully he can overcome that and y'all can move forward past that. But here's the thing, that's not going to go away. That's going to be what everybody talks about all the time with Hugh Freeze. It was in his press conference today. It was in when he talked to Paul Feinbaum. I mean, it's not going anywhere. Everybody knew that was going to be the case. And when he left Ole Miss, there was nobody thinking that he was going to ever get a Power 5 coaching job again back in 2016 when this initially happened. And nobody thought this would happen. But we're in such a present day now where, you know, you say sorry and you can come back. That he's now a Power 5 SEC head coach. And so you look at that and you go, all right, well, what does this mean for, you know, Georgia? What does this mean for Alabama? And you have a guy in Hugh Freeze that now in his contract, apparently, he can't even tweet out his own tweets.
No, that's not true. He dispelled that rumor today in his press conference. They asked him about that. That's not true.
But didn't he say something like, I've had somebody tweeting out for me for a while now or something like that?
That was from Liberty, though. Liberty, he said he hadn't been running his social media the last couple of weeks. He doesn't even know what's going on. Somebody else is doing that. Ain't got nothing to do with his Auburn contract.
But so that's not in his contract at Auburn?
They asked him specifically. There was a rumor that a portion of your stipulations in your contract were that you would have to surrender your social media accounts. And he said, no, that's not true. So either he blatantly lied or he's not required to turn over it. He did say jokingly, maybe that's wisdom, but it's not a requirement of my contract.
Here's the thing with that, though. You just said maybe he's lying. And has he not lied in the past?
I mean, have you lied in the past, Paul? Yes, of course he's lied in the past. Like, come on.
But like, these are pretty
high. There's a bear crap in the woods. Yes.
Yeah. All right, I'll stop. But
I'm saying, yeah. Like, name a coach for any major program that you can say, has he ever lied in the past? Of course he has.
Jesus Christ of Holy Cross University.
Billy would never lie. Billy is a Christian, God-fearing.
Come on, Kenny.
Country boy.
I bet you the folks at Louisiana, he looked somebody straight in the face and was like, no, I'll be back next year. And then went and signed a contract with Florida. Now,
One thing about Hugh Freeze, right? I saw a video this guy did earlier, and he explained why Hugh Freeze is very dangerous to the SEC, because he's like, one, he already knows people are going to be watching him with the microscope, so he's going to stay extra clean. He knows
hopefully.
That,
I mean,
that he had the opportunity taken from him one time, so now he has a second chance. He's not going to mess that up.
Hopefully.
He has this. Now he might have this new fire burnt in to prove folks wrong.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? To do things. So everything that would point to him doing well is probably just magnified because he has this second chance, really.
Yeah.
And it makes him dangerous.
I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. I actually like the hire, bro. Like, I really do. Like,
is he a good enough coach to come with this baggage, though, Ike? I mean, his record looks almost similar to Gus Malzahn's. You fired Gus Malzahn.
Yeah,
and he has this baggage.
Here's my thing. There's a lot of coaches who were not very good as far as their records are concerned before they got to Auburn. You go look at Tommy Tuberville's record, right? Another former Ole Miss coach that made it to Auburn. Go look at his record before he got to Auburn and look what he did when he got to Auburn. There's that you can.
I'm saying, is a yes or no? Is the baggage worth this?
It's worth it for the price tag. Yes, it's worth it for the price tag that they paid. They only paid $6.5 million. So I think
what's his buyout? What's his buyout?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know that they've released that those details.
because if you got to
buy
another
6.5, if we got to pay another buyout in the next 2 years, that's cool. But see, here's the thing: we only get to a buyout scenario if they fire him with no cause. So if you're expecting him to just screw up for some other non-football reason, he doesn't get that buyout. So he has every incentive to make sure that that ain't the reason that he's up out of there, right? Because if they fire him for cause, he doesn't get his buyout. So to Kenny's point, hopefully, and my sincere hope is this, that we're not in a coaching search in the next 2 years that ends in disgrace. I think that they are willing to ride with him for a couple of seasons, unlike they were with Brian Harsin, because they liked him to begin with.
Wow. Not to change the subject a little bit, do you know how much he was making in Liberty?
Not a lot, I don't think. It was like, what, $2 million
a year? Hugh Freeze has agreed to it. This was, oh my goodness, this was a month ago. Hugh Freeze agreed to a new 8-year contract at Liberty that will put him among the highest paid coach in the group of five. The contract is 8 seasons and averages just under $5 million per year. He's making $5
million. Oh, wow, really? I didn't think he was making $5 a year at Liberty.
I'm gonna keep it a buck with you right now. If I could stay at Liberty and make $5 million and not have to be put into the spotlight again, I might just stay there. But he might have that dog. He's got that dog in him. He wants back.
He specifically said he's an uber competitive person. And I just think he just wanted this smoke. Like, you really kind of have to want smoke to take a job in the SEC, number one. But to take this job, again, we talked about this already. Like, it ain't but a few teams in the country that every year got to play Georgia and Bama. Tennessee, Auburn. That's the list, I think, right? Every year?
Yeah.
And so if you, like, are standing up and you're like, yeah, I want that job, you kind of have to be a little crazy, or you got a lot of self-confidence, like, oh, I could do this. I want that smoke. That's just different, man, and I like that. Anybody who's inviting that smoke, I'm with it. I think the only issue that I have is the one that you brought up, Paul, and that's the divisiveness that's happened amongst the fan base, because some people are just so adamantly against this hire that they're all, you know, I'm never going to come to any more Auburn games while this guy is the coach and that kind of stuff. And that's unfortunate, you know, because I actually think the team could end up being pretty good, and they're gonna hate that it was him that was the one to turn
the thing is, you know, you have that new AD, right? And this is who he wanted to, you know,
start his athletic director tenure off with.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a boom or bust, right?
For sure. 1,000%.
And I think right now most people, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think most people look at it outside of Auburn, right? Just the
even inside Auburn probably, but continue.
Look at it as probably going, like, we know how this movie ends.
No, right? There's a lot of people. Yeah, there's definitely
we've
a lot
seen,
of people.
We've seen this movie, but literally like we've seen this movie before. The only difference in this movie now is he has legal money he can give to players.
Yeah.
But everything else is the same. Right, we've seen this movie before. But to that point, though, now that he can start giving legal money out, it might change the whole dynamic of recruiting and might boost Auburn with the quickness. Because
well, that's obviously what has people excited, is that it's like, well, we know he knows how to negotiate some player contracts. So we just make it legal now and let's get this money flowing. He'll be straight.
Could you imagine Urban Meyer with NIL?
Urban Meyer still quit on whatever job he's at and.
But he'll bring a championship, though. He'll bring you one.
Yeah, he'll get you a quick one real quick.
2 years. Year two, he'll win a championship. Year three, half his people will transfer out, and he'll state some reasons why he doesn't want to be there anymore, and he'll bounce.
Yeah, but, I mean, I like the hire. Hugh Freeze, when I sit back, because I'm an offensive guy, I like points. I like pretty offense. I love it. Mm-hmm. And Auburn has the – capabilities to do all of that. Like, you recruit well in Southern Georgia, you're going to recruit well in Alabama, you're close enough to Florida, that's where you're going to get those guys, and depending on who you get as your OC and DC, like, depending what names you get, mm-hmm. Yo, you're going to get guys that's going to come, that's going to be like, oh, you know what, yeah, I'm gonna rock with Auburn. Yeah. This guys is already looking that we're supposed to go what's to Bama, they're like, nah, Auburn, like the Carver boys.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't. Nobody was really thinking about them going to Auburn. Now,
I think that's the thing that excites me the most is probably the change in trajectory in the recruiting and the offense, because Auburn's offense has been terrible for what, like a decade. Like, I mean, let's be for real. Like, not been very good, absent of a few bright spots here and there. 2017, but before that, like, you got to go back to 2013 before you get a good Auburn offense. Like, it's just been, ugh. In between all of those years. So I'm excited about the potential of a better offense and more recruiting prowess, hopefully recruiting prowess that is able to identify talent. But I'm going to take this minute out because I do want to get off of this topic and pivot a little bit, because you talked about recruiting and you talked about an area of recruiting. And one of the biggest places where Auburn's been able to find talent recently has been in the state of Florida. And I want to go and talk about what's going down in the state of Florida. Mm. Two questions. I got to start with the guy who's down in Florida. Two questions about the state of Florida. Is Florida State currently the king of Florida when it comes to football in the state, in your opinion?
King is a strong.
It is a strong word. And I'm going to stand here and I'm going to ask you to answer. Is Florida State the king of football in Florida?
I wouldn't say they are the king. They this year, sure, you can give it to them this year.
Okay.
I mean,
They beat Florida.
They beat Florida. They beat Miami.
They beat Miami.
The big three, really, UCF, nobody really. UCF.
Like, you mean the only recent national championship winner in the state of Florida?
Yeah, I mean. The thing.
I can joke about that because it was at our expense. So, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, but that's real, though. Like, they are. Like, you have to give it to them. They have a 9-win season. I mean, it took a while, you know. shout out to them. They had a good year. So, yes, technically.
For this year, yes.
They won.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to know if you was going to be able to give them their props for what they've done in this season. But let's talk big picture, because I definitely want to talk recruiting, because rumor has it.
Mm.
We talked about him on the last episode.
Mm.
And we talked about the trepidation that might happen if he stepped off in there. Coach Prime is in negotiations with South Florida for the head football coaching position. How does that make the natives of the Sunshine State feel?
I think a lot of people in Florida are, well, I'm not gonna say a lot of people. I think it's split. I think you have skin folk who are like cool, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And then you have other people who are like, oh no, no. I don't know. It's gonna throw some waves because him in Florida is bad for everybody in Florida. Mm. Point blank, period. I don't care what it is, what's going on. Him recruiting kids in the same room that you're recruiting kids is not good.
Yeah.
So if he really does take this USF job, it's gonna be a problem. It's really gonna be a problem because
does USF have the money to be able to get behind him like that?
I think they have the resources that he needs. I don't think he will go into a UCF and try to wring the rag dry. Like the same thing he did with Jackson State. He went there knowing like, hey, y'all ain't got it. I know it. Don't worry about it. I think going to USF is going to be a, hey, take care of my guys. I'm good. But my assistants, my guys on the team, the coaches, make sure they're good. Facilities, I need them up to par to compete against who I need to compete against and be able to recruit. I think that's all he wants. Now, when you get to the P5 job, like if he was to take a Florida State or something like that, now he's probably be like, all right, I want my money too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think going to USF is he knows what's most important for his success is not his pocket. It's the people around him and the infrastructure that he's going to have to build.
That staff is probably going to be so nuts, man. I don't even know what a USF staff looks like with Coach Prime, bro.
But I don't think it's going to be the excitement like at Jackson State, because at Jackson State, like
when the culture is different.
We're friends. So you're like, yo, look what you're doing for HBCUs. Look what you're doing for the culture. When you go to USF, you're just another coach. I mean, mind you, you're Prime, but I'm not going to tune into USF just because Prime is coaching.
That's a good point.
I'm not going to do that. So a lot of the people that are on, you know what I'm saying, have his back like that, I think are probably going to fall off a little bit because now you're just a regular guy.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just me.
You got any thoughts about it, Paul? You guys dip into the state of Florida quite often for recruits. How were our people in the Georgia program going to feel about neighboring state now having not? I mean, listen, Miami is out there kicking butt right on the recruiting trail. Napier's doing a good job on the recruiting trail. We already talked about the king of Florida right now, Florida State, bringing it.
Yep.
And then you got USF now potentially having Coach Prime. Does that then, I mean, are other schools in the SEC now just locked out of the state of Florida? Like, are you just all the kids going to go stay at home now? How you feeling about that, Paul?
There's a lot of kids in the state of Florida. I mean, you could take just the Miami-Dade area right there and foot, you know, get teams of Florida, Florida State. You could field rosters for all of them just out of Miami-Dade. So there's enough kids down there. The problem is with Deion now transferring, if he does, to USF, I think it's a really good transfer for him. They're supposed to be building a stadium on campus in 2026, but right now they use Raymond James Stadium, so it's Tampa Bay Stadium, the Buck Stadium. So I mean, it's a big enough stadium. He can pack it out. USF has a ton of alumni. It's like I think their population actually in terms of like attendance is huge as well. So those two things help, and then what probably scares coaches the most right now, if Prime does get a group of five slot, is losing your transfers to him, because
for sure
he can very easily turn this South Florida football team, which we looked up before the show, which was a whopping 1-11 and 0-8 in the conference, in the AAC, American Athletic Conference, for those who don't know, which you know most don't. He could easily turn that team into, I mean, you see Tulane's up there at the top at 10-2. He gets enough recruits, and it's not even recruits that I think worry everybody. It's how many of your guys off your team are going to transfer there. And there's going to be kids from Florida, Florida State, Miami, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, USC. I mean, every Southern school, they're going to look at Prime and say, he's rebuilding. I mean, I would beg to say that if Prime went down there, there'd probably be a mass exodus of, you know, 40, 50 kids. He'd be like, look, your scholarship here's, it ain't what it is. And he would just bring in a massive load of talent, flip this real quick. And that's probably what could work out best for him, man. He could flip this real quick from 1-11 to, let's say, 7-5 and then 10-2 and year of 1-2. And then guess what? Next thing's Power 5. you know, maybe Hugh Freeze is messed up by then. Maybe, you know, right. Yes. You know, Mike Norvell is out at Florida State or, you know, I don't know, Shane Beamer leaves USC, something like that. And he can then jump to that next spot. This is, if it wasn't going to be Auburn, I don't think Colorado's the right move for Prime.
Yeah, but, that felt weird. That just felt weird hearing that.
Yeah. But USF, though, you could do a quick two-year flip, and then you are the top P5 coach. And you can show people that, too. So that's where it's worrisome. I don't think long-term, like 2024, 2025 kids, I don't think like schools are worried about that. Hmm. I think you're worried about him taking some of your depth, though, off your teams, because yeah, that's what he did at Jackson State. And like I said last episode, he got 4- and 5-star kids to come to Jackson, Mississippi. This right. is Tampa, Florida now. Yeah. This is a totally right. different beast. You get to play in the Buck Stadium. Yeah. Like, this is different. This yeah. is completely different.
That's why it's crazy. I think, man, people, listen, I don't know, man. I just don't think people understand how much star power matters to young kids and especially their parents, right? Like, it's, and in Florida, like, it's like two places you don't want Prime walking into a living room in are in the state of Georgia and the state of Florida.
Yep.
Really in the state of Texas either, right? Just because he played sure. at Dallas. You know, he played most of his playing career, most of his like celebrity came when he was in Atlanta, and then he played college ball in Florida, like, and he grew up in Florida. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, those are the places where, like, talking about his face card, like, you just don't want to play those games with him in those areas, because that's like inviting him to his backyard, and then you yep. want to pick a fight with him. Like, that's crazy. So, to your point, Tampa is a draw by itself. Playing in an NFL stadium is crazy. Prime being the coach is crazy. I don't know, man. I don't know. That just sounds like trouble for a lot of people.
And it's a team they're not great right now. They're 1-11.
Yeah, Prime, so it doesn't take...
It doesn't take much at all.
7-5, they're ecstatic in the turnaround in 1 year.
Dude, and all that really takes is you bring your son in at quarterback, you bring Travis Hunter, and you bring 3 or 4 more kids, and you probably get to 7-5. Yeah. I mean... Yeah.
In that conference for sure.
Yeah.
And you're already on kids the top 50. You're on like
yeah.
12 of them on their top 5.
Yeah. It's but kids right now that would still want to go to Jack State.
Want to buy into the HBCU thing because they're like, all right, we'll see what happens with Travis. You know what I'm saying? So they're not ready to buy in yet, which, you know, at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, it's TV too.
USF. So now you get to play Florida. You get to play Bama.
Right.
You get to do all these things and you learn from Prime. It's just it's exciting to see because like I followed Coach Prime since he had Truth, since Shador and Shiloh and them kids was little kids playing Pee-wee. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So now to see that he's doing all of this there, man, if he gets to USF, it's going to look amazing because I think he's done what he had to do for HBCUs. Like, I mean, at this point, what do you want him to do? You know, it's like he keeps winning. He's just beating up on everybody.
Look, you just convinced me completely because I had to look up their schedule. Alabama comes to Raymond James Stadium next year, September 16th.
Yikes.
Come on now. Yikes. Come on. Tell me game day's not there. I mean,
that's going to be over. Nuts, bro.
It's over.
That would be absolutely nuts if
it's
Bama
over.
Is playing at USF with Coach Prime there.
Yeah.
Yo, that's so crazy. I don't even like, yeah, that'd be nuts.
I mean,
that sells itself.
That's what I'm saying. Prime's got to be looking at that like, whoa, I can play Bama in 2023. And then let's see, 2024, they go to Alabama and they get Louisville at home and they get NC State at home in 2024. There's your 2-year plan right there. Yeah. You win against Louisville, NC State, you try to stay competitive against Alabama in those two games, and then you move on. I mean, it sets up perfectly if Prime's looking at this as like a 2-year stopgap. And
actually,
move.
Like if you look at it from the standpoint of him really trying to get his son the real looks, right? Like
yeah.
him playing against Bama next year puts him in a different conversation. Like he feels like he's getting shafted from this Heisman conversation. It's like, all right, cool. Let me go load up on a different level. Go get some different kids, and then watch what he does against Bama.
Yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense.
Them kids, them Florida kids that go to Minnesota, that go to University of Maryland that are nice, that get overlooked, that four-star that's like, well, I'm going to go to Oregon. I'm going to go. Now I can stay home because them Florida kids really be wanting to stay home.
Yeah.
Man, they can stay home now and play for Deion Sanders.
Yeah, it's, that could be nuts, man. That could be absolutely nuts. All right. Okay. So I don't definitely a lot of people probably need to be on high alert right now. So let's pivot then and bring it back to the conference and talk about the big game that's coming up this weekend. I don't have much to say about this, Paul. I'm gonna let you have the floor since you are the only one on this pod that actually has a team involved in this. But the SEC championship is happening this weekend. We already talked about LSU not looking good. Who is the competition? Not only want to ask you if you think Georgia is going to repeat as SEC champion, how bad do you think y'all are going to beat LSU?
Well, you said repeat. They lost last year.
Oh, that's so true. I forgot about it. They did lose in the championship game to Bama last year. My bad.
This is huge. Yeah, this is huge to Kirby Smart. He's been preaching this. Like, he's honestly been preaching this. And I don't know if it's just, you know, coach talk or coach speak or whatever, but he's really been preaching like he wants this SEC title more than he wants the natty. Look, that's how he's portraying it. He wants this SEC title bad. And I see
come on, Kirby.
I'm saying I feel you. But, you know, last year, yes, they won the natty, but they didn't win the SEC. And he preaches it. Man, you should hear his press conferences, man, every week. The SEC is such a tough league to play in and week out. You know, everybody that wants to come play in it can come play in it, but this is the hardest conference, you know, and he does that nonstop. Yeah. And so, you know, I think for him, this is huge. People are going to, you know, probably say, oh, well, he didn't go up against Alabama. He's going up against LSU. Well, he didn't get to choose, right?
For
you know, it's who goes up against them. So,
you drunk the juice.
No, what do you mean?
I know. I'm just playing.
He can't pick who he's going up against. I'm sure he would want to go. He probably this year, sure, rematch Alabama. I mean, you know,
they probably beat Bama this year.
Yeah,
want some Florida, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he'd take whoever. What I'm saying is though, is LSU this game shouldn't be close.
Nah, it shouldn't. I'm sorry.
And they should, you know, be the biggest thing is they've had this the past couple of weeks is they've been looking ahead. And so they did it with Tech early and Tech scored that touchdown on the first drive, 11 plays, 75 yard drive where they looked unstoppable. And they, you know, they went to halftime. They were only up 10. Georgia was. And
who's that receiver for Georgia, the big receiver for Georgia Tech, bro? Like
Nate McCollum. He's in the transfer portal now.
He's in the portal, right?
Yeah.
That kid was balling in that game, bro.
That's how you make money. That's how you make money right there. You have one game like that against Georgia and you make it to a bigger
He school. Convinced me. I wanted to go back and look at his tape and be like, is this a fluke or has he been balling like this all year,
bro? Apparently he's been balling like that all year, but I think that the biggest thing is don't look forward, and Kirby's really preached that all year long. So it'll be. I'm curious to see how they come out and play because they've looked really soft the first half of the last two games, and so maybe just come out and just stick. You need to stick it to LSU, and you hope and pray that somehow USC jumps TCU so you can have TCU at the four and not USC, because I don't think you want USC in the first game, but you also don't want USC to beat Michigan because the game is in LA, and it's going to make tickets about 10 times harder to get. Because USC, as we know, as we saw last week with their stadium, they love to bandwagon. Yeah, they love the bandwagon. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, USC's good, that stadium is packed. USC's trash, there's 10 people there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the national championship game's in LA. So
I think it's going to be interesting to see if LSU is able to, like, because I don't even know how to explain last week, right? Like, how do you explain?
Right, and they're going to the SEC championship game. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Like, I know that they knew they were going already, but you at least had an outside shot at the, you know, college football playoff.
But
to lay an egg the way they did, I was just like, yo, what is going, like, I just don't even know how to explain, because you can't tell me Texas A&M just got that much better in a week.
No.
So I just don't know how LSU looked that bad against easily one of the worst teams in the league.
And LSU, I feel like, would have to play perfect. Like, Harold Perkins is great.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a lot more than Harold Perkins to be a balanced UGA offense. When UGA offense is balanced, I always said, Paul, you know, for the years, I'm like, yo, when Georgia gets a real OC, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem because they just run the ball, throw it sometimes. But now they got playmakers everywhere, and they utilize everybody. I don't know if LSU has – they have the toughness, but I don't know if they have the depth to run with them boys.
Here's the thing with Harold Perkins. He's great, right? Yeah. But you got Broderick Jones, who's going to be a highly drafted – offensive tackle, and Warren McClendon, who has been a starter at right tackle for Georgia for what seems like 7 years. So he's not going against no slouches. I mean, they're good offensive tackles.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just going to be interesting. I mean, LSU has not been a first half team at all this season, right? They've let just about everybody except for Bama play them tough early, and then they just kind of come at you in waves as the game goes on, and they'll figure out a way to win.
Which is a problem, Ike, for Georgia.
Yeah, well, that's why problem. I said that. Like, I don't know how they win this game, because Georgia, if you get behind against Georgia,
it's over.
What do you do? Like, the defense is too good. Like, and then they can run the ball. So it's like, we can choke the clock out and we can stop you from scoring. So how I feel like this is going to go is Georgia's going to put up 28 points in the first half of that game and then coast to victory.
Like, which sucks, because that's been so many of Georgia's games this year. And it's like, you get to the end of it and you're like, that was fun, I guess. You know, 10-minute drive in the second half.
Georgia starts slow sometimes too, though.
They do. Like, that's what, yeah.
But like, and I feel, but, and that's really, really the only hope for LSU is if they can get Georgia to start slow and then maybe get a mistake, right? Like maybe some kind of fluky turnover, you know, maybe, what's your guy's name? Maybe Ladd McConkey muffs a punt again or says some crazy.
Stetson's known for 3 or 4 bad plays, bonehead plays a game. I mean, it's a fact.
That's how I feel like LSU can be in this game, is Georgia makes mistakes. But if Georgia comes out and they put it on them early, I don't know how LSU comes back in this game, because the defense is too good. They're not, that defense isn't, the defense has, and this sounds like I'm slighting the Georgia offense, the defense has way too much pride. Like, they're trying to pitch shutouts every game. The offense is like, yeah, we'll score points, I guess. Oh, y'all want to touch down? Okay, all right, cool. We'll come out here and we'll put a drive together. But the defense is like, no, y'all not scoring. Like, period. There's no points will be scored today. And
which is crazy. Which is absolutely crazy.
I can't stand it, but I love it. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just don't think you're gonna get a sleepy Georgia defense in this game, bro. Like, I just don't.
Not for this.
So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. We will definitely, by the time you guys hear it from us again, we will know what will have happened. And, you know, I expect Paul to be on here. Hopefully, you know, whatever post-game hangover has happened is subsided by then.
And what? So before I'm guessing we're going to wrap soon. With the last championship games, who y'all got? I mean, do the playoffs stay as they are? Because they just released the playoffs, right?
That's so a good question.
Is Georgia 1? Michigan 2, TCU 3, USC 4. Does it stay that way when we're talking next week? Because next week's the final one, right? So
yeah. I don't. So TCU has been scraping by everybody, and that's the one I'm more worried about than USC.
They have, man.
So
TCU's playing Kansas State,
which they've already played once this year. And I think TCU won that game by like 10, right?
Yeah, it was 38-28. It was at TCU, though. So this is neutral field.
Right, so neutral field. You've already beaten them once. It's hard to beat a team twice that you didn't exactly blow out, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Kansas State is one of those teams that's been kind of sneaky good this year, where like they show up and what's the quarterback's name for Kansas State right now? He was the Nebraska kid.
Adrian Martinez.
Yeah, Martinez, you know, like he might go nuts and rush for like 80 something yards or something. And the little running back that they have,
Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah, like maybe he like goes crazy. I don't know. I mean, it's hard for me to call that game. So if I were to pick somebody who's going to falter during championship week, it would be TCU, just because they've been playing so many close games. It's just like at some point in time, I feel like they just going to slip up.
Real quick, Kenny. Today, Junior. TCU is a 2.5-point favorite, and so is USC. So
two and a half points, bro. Like
2.5 ain't a lot. Two and a half ain't a lot.
But go ahead, Kenny. Who is USC playing?
USC's playing Utah.
Yeah, Utah.
Ooh,
Utah. On Friday night.
Utah doesn't scare me. Like, they don't scare me.
Utah scares me. Utah scares me.
Really?
That Cam Rising kid's pretty good. Did y'all beat them or no?
Huh?
Y'all lost to them, right?
No, we beat them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Had y'all not beat them, they would be in the playoff contention right now.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they lost one more.
Yeah, that would have been a play-in game.
They lost two. In there. Who you got, Kenny? You got USC or Utah? Or do you have the final four?
I have USC winning. I think their offense is just too good.
Yeah.
I just think they're just too good right now. They're just – the boys are like a train. So I don't see them losing. But I also – Vandy beat Kentucky, Florida. Texas A&M just beat – you know what I'm saying? It's just like, yo, Mizzou played Georgia tough for a first half. Like, if they had some dogs with them, they might have beat y'all. this year has just been nuts. I would love to see, like, everybody lose and then just shake it up and go crazy.
Yeah, but okay, so if that happens, though, who sneaks in there at that point in time?
You would have to think, no. You would have to think at this point.
Here, bro.
They're six or seven, right?
They're six. You would have to think US the way that they're doing it, Ohio State's going to be the one that jumps in, because that makes absolutely zero sense, bro. If somehow we get to next week and Alabama's in the four spot and they jumped over Ohio State and neither one of those teams played, that makes absolutely zero sense. You've already lined up. You've told us this week.
What if both of them lose? What if both USC and TCU lose? Is Bama in there?
Do you put a one loss? Ohio State goes in.
Yeah, Ohio State jumps back in there, right? So you get Michigan, Ohio State, Georgia. Who's your fourth?
But here's the thing, though, man. So then if they do that, right, then if I was USC and I was TCU, I would never play in a conference championship again, because it does you no good to kick you out of this playoff scenario.
Yeah.
Like, it that's what I'm saying. So we're going to punish these teams for having to play another game and while the other teams stay at home.
Yeah, it sucks.
You know, so, but that's the reality of it, though. You lose, you're out, especially TCU. They want TCU out of it.
You guys lost the conference championship last year?
Yeah, and they still got in.
Right.
Yeah, I know, but they were undefeated.
Oh, well, that's different. It was undefeated prior to that. So,
yeah. So, you know, I don't know, man. I know that TCU is not.
You guys played in the conference championship. It wasn't some team that was sitting at home watching the conference championship while other teams had to fight it out.
Remember, Bama snuck in. What was that, 2019?
It was something, yeah.
I think it was the year they weren't in the top four and the team lost and they snuck in from that five spot. Like, it happens, and they still have respect enough to do it.
I don't want it to happen, though, man.
I agree with you. I don't think Bama has played well enough to earn that spot. Like, I think that they're at the sixth spot because of their name, not because of how they
play. Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's tons of two loss teams out there.
That's their respect that they get.
Yeah. But if TCU or USC, if they both lose, then I don't know, man. I have no idea.
If they both lose, Bama's in. If only one of them loses, it would be robbery to not have Michigan in there instead of Bama.
Or you mean Ohio State?
Ohio State, excuse me.
Yeah. If you somehow jump, if Alabama somehow jumps Ohio State with both of them not playing, you might as well just say this shit's rigged, man. It's done.
Everybody, that's all anybody will scream.
It's done if that happens, bro. It's done.
They just put Clemson in there, right?
Oh boy,
Clemson! Oh god,
they're so bad. Oh my god, I feel bad for DJ Uiagalelei. I feel bad for him.
I think he's going to transfer and be a pretty good quarterback somewhere.
If he doesn't transfer, I would question everything about that young man.
Yeah, he's out of there. I don't know where he's going, though. Maybe we can make bets on that next week. I don't know. Next week's gonna be fun. Yo, next week's podcast is gonna be fire because they are going. The portal is heating up, ladies and gentlemen. not to tease you, but that portal is heating up. And next week,
a lot of big names hitting that portal. It's going to be a feeding frenzy. And by then, we
know about like nine. We got about nine left. If
South Florida hasn't made the move by then, I'd be shot, right?
So they would be idiotic.
Yeah, so we would know by then what happens in that situation. Championship weekend, we'll know who the playoff picture will look like, and the portal will be open. Next week is going to be fun. Yeah.
And for sure. To finish it off real quick, if a kid enters his name into the transfer portal, can he still play on his team's college football?
Oh. Absolutely. They did it last year with Florida. We had guys that were in the portal that play in the bowl game.
So you can.
Yeah, Jacob Copeland was in the portal.
Wow. Was
our starting wide receiver.
That's crazy.
I don't even like, why would you even put your name in the portal if you were going to still play? Because it's not like it's the last day that you can put your name in the portal. It's the first day. The last day comes way much later.
Because.
No, the last day for this cycle is the 5th, bro.
Is it the last day? I thought it was the first day that it was eligible.
Is it?
No. Technically, you can't, like, you can commit, but it can't be, like, an official signing or anything.
Right,
like that.
Right. That's the first day that you can sign with a new team. I don't think that's the last day you can enter the portal, because that's coming way later. It's going to come up right before, or right after, I should say, after National Signing Day.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So that's the first day, yeah.
Yeah, so portal season is just beginning, but it's going to be a lot of kids that's going to hit day one because their seasons are over and they need to figure out where their new home is going to be. A lot of new coaches trying to figure out what the landscape of their school is going to be. So a lot of kids going to be taking visits and all that kind of thing going through the month of December. So portal season will be officially open next week and it's going to be interesting. All right, well, let's get out of here, guys. I appreciate it once again. So we'll start in the state of Florida this time. Kenny B, tell the people where they can keep in touch with you, man.
Man, find me on IG. You can find me on Twitter, T2T_KB or T2T_KB2. You can find me there. I'm talking trash. I will be posting my opinions on everything, the portal, NFL declarations is coming. Be great, 15. That's where I'm gonna be at.
That's what's up. All right, Paul, talk to us from who we're already gonna go ahead and crown as the SEC championship Georgia Bulldogs. But go ahead and tell us where we can find where if they want to hear your take after the SEC championship game, where do they need to tune in?
Yeah, man, go to Georgia Bulldogs football on YouTube, man, ujsports.com. We do a post-game overreaction show. I will be live at the stadium in the press box. And then like we did last year, we did it from a suite. So I suckered I tiptoed my way over to a suite and did the show live from a suite. So hopefully we'll be able to do that again. And check me out on Twitter, @PMaHarry. Ike, where can they find you at, man?
Yeah, man. Y'all know I am TWR Ike Jones on Twitter, but I am also with The War Report. Y'all can holler at us right there on YouTube. And we're The War Report everywhere, man. We're going to keep this beautiful content rolling with y'all. But we'll be back at y'all next week. And y'all already know it's going to be spicy next week. Until next time, and as always, peace. We'll holler at y'all, baby.